Well, I've suggested that Ecclesiastes is Solomon's kind of autobiography. He starts off as a young guy seeking for wisdom because he thinks that's what the messianic ruler needs, and God's pleased with that. God gives him wisdom, and he writes the book of Proverbs, I suggest. And yet, at the same time, he is messing around with a girl from Egypt and all these love songs and the Song of Solomon around the same time. So he is a classic example of do as I say, but not as I do. He fails to personalize all the wisdom that he's been given. And I've pointed out the contrasts between the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. What he teaches is not at all what he does. And we must give full weight to the statement in the historical records that when he was old, his wives turned away his heart from Yahweh, and he served idols. He built temples all around the Jerusalem temple that he built for Yahweh, built temples to other idols, and worshipped there rather than in the temple of Yahweh. So that's what the historical record says, and people like to think he repented. There's no word of that in the historical record. And when you come to Ecclesiastes, it can appear difficult to work out what he's saying, because on one hand he seems to talk about life under the sun, and then on the other hand he seems to talk about spiritual possibilities, and he talks about God, for example. He doesn't use Yahweh, because he turned away from Yahweh, but he does talk about God and judgment and so forth. And yet he also says that, well, the righteous and the wicked and the fool and the wise man all go to the grave and that's it. And there's nothing beyond it. But he also talks about judgment to come. And some have said, well, yeah, so he's describing how life is under the sun, but he himself thought differently. I don't think so. I want to suggest another path to understanding this. I think that the historical commentary upon him, as I say, must be given its full weight. He turned away from Yahweh and he turned to idols, and his heart turned away. So I don't go with that division of Ecclesiastes into stuff under the sun and then Solomon personally arguing for righteousness. I don't think so. I explain it like this. That, yeah, he himself knew all this stuff, he knew the theory, but as he says in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, but it's far from me. It's far from me personally. I don't go with it at all. And in the last couple of chapters in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12, he's basically talking to young people. You know, verse 9 of chapter 11, rejoice, young man, in your youth. Then in chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. He's saying, yeah, this God stuff, yeah, it's not a bad idea for the kids, but for me, no, there's nothing. No, it's all bizarre. And the apparent conflict between what he says in this nihilistic sort of way and then what he says about judgment and God existing, I think is resoluble in that he knew the theory, but he absolutely did not personalize it at all. Now, without delving into depth psychology, that is unfortunately a characteristic or a possible characteristic of human beings. We have this sense that we can somehow know all these things, but I don't have to know them. I don't have to believe them personally. It's the difference between knowledge and belief. And you can know things, but not believe them. And I think this is the case with Solomon. And I have seen it in my own community, that people are, for example, interviewed before they're baptized, and they're asked a load of questions seeking to explore their theological understanding. You know, is God a Trinity? Yes or no? No. Okay, so what was the nature of Jesus? He had human nature. So on and so forth. Is there an immortal soul? No. Okay. What's going to happen then in the future? Jesus is going to come back and raise the dead, and there'll be a judgment and the kingdom of God established on earth. Big red tick. Well done. And then the person's baptized. But you can get all the ticks and say the right things and not actually believe that. And I know folks that I grew up with who were baptized about the same time as I was, and now they are hardcore atheists. And I say to them, but what's happened? And they say, well, nothing. I just never really believed it. I was baptized. Gee, I knew the stuff and I went through with the process, but I didn't believe it. And you see, there's a difference between knowledge and belief. Belief means to trust. That is what faith is, trust. And I don't think that Solomon had that at all. So he says in verse 9, "Rejoice, young man, in your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things there is a God who will bring you into judgment for them." Well, all through the Proverbs, he has said, multiple references, that man is not to live after his own eyes and after his own heart, but after the ways of God. Proverbs 3:7, 12:15, 16:2, 21:2, 28:26 goes on and on. And yet he says here that, you know, okay, yeah, live like that. It's not bad. But then, you know, then there's this God thing and this judgment thing. And yet that contradicts what he says earlier in Ecclesiastes, that after death there is nothing. Death is eternal unconsciousness, and so, according to Solomon, it shall be. You will have no further part in what goes on in this life or on this world after you're dead, and that's it. And so, therefore, what's the point in being wise? There isn't really a lot of point in it. What's the point in being righteous? No point, really. Because there is no difference. Chapter 9 is very clear about this. So, my explanation of the two different sort of strands in Ecclesiastes, where on one hand he says that life is pointless and that righteousness is pointless and that there is no future sort of reward for righteousness or wickedness, that's on one hand. And then on the other hand, you've got this stuff about there is a judgment and there is a God, when he himself in his heart had turned away from God. Well, as I say, I put it down to this, that you can know all that and even teach it to other people and even recommend it to other people when in your heart you yourself do not believe it. And again, I have spoken to brethren who were great preachers, or so I thought, who could come out with all this stuff and then they turn around and say, oh, you know, all that God stuff, I don't believe it. And I'm like, but you were there on the platform, from the podium, teaching all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but I don't believe it myself. And this, I think, is Solomon. And if we're not careful, this can be every man. So look at that difference between knowledge and belief. You've got to convert that knowledge that you have into trust. Okay, so there is no immortal soul. That is correct. And Jesus will come and raise the dead, and there will be a judgment and the kingdom of God established on earth, and those who've trusted in his grace will live forever. Right, you know that. Do you believe it? Because if you believe that and if you trust in that, that changes your life. This is no mere theology. This is no mere religion. You are going to live forever. And this is a personal reality. This life is not all. It's just a few millimeters compared to the eternal line without end of eternity in God's kingdom.